we get bogged down a lot in Congress on things that seem to suck all the oxygen out of the room. But this has got to be something that rises to the top, because it's not going to wait on us. It's going to happen, whether we're ready or not.
Welcome to the Regulating AI podcast. Join host Sanjay Puri as he explores the dynamic and developing world of artificial intelligence governance. Each episode features deep dives with global leaders at the forefront of regulating AI responsibly, tackling the challenges using AI can bring about head-on and enabling balance without hindering innovation.
Welcome to the Regulating AI podcast. Artificial intelligence, AI, stands at the forefront of technological evolution, with experts predicting that it could add trillions of dollars to our GDP, but it could also negatively impact our workforce and national security. So how do we regulate it without stifling innovation? Our podcast features insights from various perspectives. We've had industry leaders, government officials, leaders of advocacy groups. Together, they try to address pivotal questions that are needed to create practical legislation. I'm very excited to have Congressman Buddy Carter with us today. He represents Georgia's 1st District in the U.S. House of Representatives. He's also a member of the House Energy and Commerce Committee and the House Budget Committee. He's a pharmacist and has been a successful entrepreneur. Welcome, Congressman. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on the Regulating AI podcast.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Wonderful. Congressman, President Biden announced a sweeping executive order on October 30th. What are your thoughts about this EO?
Well, it certainly is a 111-page executive order, supposedly is to, and I think the intention is good, to set new standards for AI and to promote innovation and competition within the field and to really advance the U.S. leadership in this. But I think we've got to guard against overregulation. It's important that we learn lessons, and certainly the lessons to be learned over in Europe, where I think that they've had some overregulation. It's important for us not to ignore that. So I'm concerned about that to a certain extent. But again, I think the intentions are good. And then you've got to wonder about the Defense Protection Act and whether or not it might trigger that. When we were in a hearing, I think you'll remember the administration actually mentioned that they didn't want it to trigger that. But if it does, then all of a sudden you may have the administration or the federal government in your boardroom. So that's of concern.
So, I mean, you mentioned the DPA, which obviously is a big issue. There could be legal challenges also to that, but so we don't know. And executive orders can lapse or can be overwritten by the next administration. Congressman, you mentioned Europe. So just to pick up on that point, the EU recently got AI Act. I mean, they came together, which will go forward in 2025. Now, they've done this with GDPR. Do you think, obviously, their coming out first is going to impact, because our companies have to play in Europe too. Any thoughts on that, Congressman?
That has been a discussion in the committee. We understand the urgency, if you will, of us taking action. And certainly if we don't, my dad used to tell me all the time, when you don't do something, you're doing something. And essentially, if we don't do something here in America, then we're doing something. And essentially, we're just conceding to Europe the leadership here. And I don't think that's a good thing for us to do. I'm not just in favor of taking action to be taking action, but I do think that we need to address it and address it soon because, you know, we've got companies here in America that are having to practice in that field and that are participating over there. And for them to have to meet those same regulations, it's difficult. I'm not sure we're ever going to have a global AI regulation, but we don't want to have too many regulations on the book. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. Congressman, you have a very interesting healthcare background, and healthcare has been touted as one of the big positive outcomes. Do you believe it's the next big technological advancement AI is for healthcare?
I do believe that AI is going to play a big role in healthcare. During the pandemic, we saw the advance of telehealth. I'm a big fan of telehealth for a number of different reasons, not the least of which is that my district is a rural district, South Georgia, very rural area, access to health care. When we talk about health care, there are three things that all of us want. We want accessibility, affordability, and quality. Telehealth helps us with accessibility. So I can see where AI would help us in that area as well. I do see some concerns with AI being used in healthcare. For instance, I'm a member of the Doctors Caucus. By profession, I'm a pharmacist. I'm a member of the Doctors Caucus. And one of the things that we talked about in the Doctors Caucus is that we live in a very litigious society, and particularly as it comes to healthcare and with doctors, a lot of them being sued for malpractice, not necessarily for things that they did wrong, but for things that they didn't do that they should have done. And what if we get into a situation where, you know, certain things are available, AI is available, but a physician chooses not to use it? Then they get in court and all of a sudden saying, this was available and you chose not to use it, you're going to be held liable. I can see that as being a problem, but I do see it having great benefits as well. Decreasing paperwork. Certainly, physicians are just swamped with paperwork now. I see it cutting both ways. See it having a lot of good benefits, but seeing it having some downside to it as well.
You talk about the benefits. What are some future applications of this technology in healthcare, Congressman?
Drug development. We know that that's a big part of it. Drug development, and of course, again, as a pharmacist, research and development, new drugs is something that's very important to me and to all healthcare professionals, really. But I often say that my years of practice in pharmacy, I've seen nothing short of miracles as a result of research and development. And I can see where AI would help us in that area, help us in formulating new drugs. So I'm excited about that because one of the things that, and I've been doing this for quite a while now, but one of the things that really has bothered me has been well care, and that is keeping people well, avoiding people, it's just like treating diabetes. Diabetes is one of the most expensive diseases that we have in this country. And being able to treat those people and have new cures, new treatments, that would be so valuable. Think about the dreaded Alzheimer's disease and how much that's going to be costing our society, both financially and to the caretakers. That you see so very often, the caretakers go down just like the patient does. And I'm excited about that portion of it.
Congressman, I don't have the healthcare background as you do, but when you talked about drugs, do you think we go through a long clinical trial process in this country? And, you know, for a good reason, because we have the best healthcare. We basically subsidize innovation around the world. But do you think maybe AI could shorten that? We have phase one, phase two, phase three, because it can do simulations. It can do those kinds of things for our audience. What are your thoughts on that?
Great, great point. I think you hit the nail on the head. This is another example of where AI will have positive benefits. No longer might we have to wait for all of these clinical trials. We might be able to, through AI, speed up the process. And listen, that makes a big difference in people's lives, and particularly if you've got a long-term disease and we can get something to the market sooner, that makes a big difference in people's lives.
And maybe cheaper also, because right now pharmaceutical companies say it costs them $1 billion because of the long cycle. So they have to pass it on to American consumers. So maybe because of this, the cost hopefully will come down too, Congressman.
That is true. And keep in mind now, in this process that we're discussing here, that is the drug trials and bringing a product to market, oftentimes you might get to phase three and then find out, oh, it doesn't do what we thought it was going to do. You drop and you've invested literally billions of dollars. If we speed that up, maybe these drug companies, the manufacturers, know sooner that, hey, it's not going to work. You're going down a rabbit hole here.
Yeah, that's a great point. Congressman, have you heard any concerns from patients or industry leaders about the use of AI in healthcare?
What I mentioned earlier about possibly the litigious part of it, that's one thing that's been brought about, particularly in some of the fields like radiology. I know the radiologist in reading x-rays and that type of thing might be a little concerned about being replaced. I don't think that's ever going to happen. I don't think that AI is, you know, medicine is truly an art. And I don't see that happening, but I can see where perhaps some of the disciplines within medicine may be concerned.
Looking to make the most out of AI advancements and innovation? Visit regulatingai.org to learn more about how best to optimize the use and integration of AI, and sign up for the Regulating AI newsletter to keep up to date with the latest in AI governance and regulation.
I agree with you, because you still need a human touch. Congressman, you are in Congress and you hear from a lot of people coming up for your hearings. AI is literally advancing by the day. You have large language models, now you have agents, you have multimodal in the sense vision and everything else. Tomorrow they are talking about AGI, etc. Question is, and you said that we want to get policy so that we have some level of certainty. Europe has had it. How can Washington keep pace in terms of policy with the rapid advances in AI capabilities?
Again, this is something we've discussed in Energy and Commerce Committee, and something that is extremely important that we do act and that we do have something. And I think we can learn from some of our previous experiences. And an example I would use would be Section 230 that deals with the platforms on the internet that is still in effect today, that was passed in 1996. How much has changed since that period of time? That should teach us an important lesson and something that we should not let be repeated, that when we do come up with standards, that they need to be constantly updated. And we're not going to be able to just come up with the standards today that are going to be applicable for the next 25 years. We might not be able to come up with the standards that will be applicable for the next 25 months, much less years. So it's going to have to be a constant work in progress.
Congressman, some of your colleagues in Congress have suggested that we need a separate regulatory body to oversee something like this. What are your thoughts on this?
I have some strong reservations about that now. I'll be quite honest with you, because I believe less government is better government. And the last thing we need right now is to be creating more agencies. And not only that, but in the way of AI is so specific to different fields. Keep in mind, we are a citizen legislature in Congress. I'm a pharmacist. There's another pharmacist. We've got a thoracic surgeon. We've got preachers. We've got farmers. We've got way too many lawyers. But in every sector has its own applications to AI. So I'm not sure that we can't do a better job. For instance, if we look at AI from a healthcare perspective, look at AI from an agriculture perspective, in different perspectives, I think that's where having a citizen legislature would really benefit us.
I think you rightly said, because there are so many different sectors and this applies to so many of them. So do you think there's a need for industry-specific regulations, or should the legislation be more broadly applicable across various sectors, Congressman?
I think it's got to be a combination of both. Certainly, it's got to be specific to the industry. There's no question about that. Again, in healthcare, remember, you've got a lot of healthcare equipment, healthcare machines that we'll be using AI in, and certainly that'll be specific. But I do think it's going to have to be specific to the specific areas, and perhaps some overriding rules and regulations might be applicable but inappropriate. But I think it's going to be more specific.
Congressman, you mentioned you are from a rural district. When we look at some of the hearings, and I look at the listening sessions that Senator Schumer and others have had, are we getting views from the rural part, the manufacturing companies, the community colleges? 40% of our students in this country get educated in community colleges. Everybody cannot afford a four-year or a Stanford degree or a Harvard degree. But they are going to be impacted positively or negatively by that. So are we getting their inputs? Because we try that on this show to bring everybody here.
And we appreciate that. And that is certainly necessary. And if we don't do that, shame on us. That is such a great point. We've got to have buy-in, if you will, from all different sectors, from all different levels, from, for instance, precision farming, precision agriculture. That's extremely important. And with all due respect, you're not going to find that at Stanford and Harvard.
Exactly. So I hope that you, coming from a rural area, is going to bring, there are rural hospitals who are going to be impacted by them. And we are trying to bring them also on our show. We are bringing heads of community colleges because they need to have a voice. Because it's not just technological divide, it will create a societal divide also in our country. And that's very important, Congressman.
It is very important because it's got to be balanced. And the societal part of it that you just mentioned is a danger and something that we need to be very careful and ward against.
Congressman, just turning to the whole idea of workforce, IMF released a study about 2 weeks ago saying that 60% of the jobs in industrialized country could be impacted by AI, generative AI, and McKinsey has had different studies. The idea of workforce, reskilling, making sure our workforce is kept together, what role can the U.S. Congress play in this, Congressman?
I think that we can play a very important role, and I think we should play a very important role in making sure that we are the ones who are setting the standards and making sure that we are the ones who are being all-inclusive to include everyone. That, I feel like, is a very important role for Congress to play.
Congress, as you know, has been looking at this issue. There's a big divide right now in terms of whether to open source, not to open source, and you heard about it. There are some large language models that are open source and not open source. It also leads to the point of monopoly versus non-monopoly. What are your thoughts on something like this, Congressman?
We certainly want a level playing field, and we certainly want small businesses to be involved and startups to be involved. And true, this is a challenge in AI, but it's a challenge in almost everything. That's something I think that won't be a new challenge for us in Congress, because almost anything we deal with, you want to make sure that you're not picking winners and losers. You want to make sure that it's a level playing field.
That's a great point. Congressman, there are almost 30 states that have some kind of AI regulation in there. How likely is federal preemption of state and local AI laws given proposals to prevent the patch? We don't want patchwork of regulations like we have in data privacy, et cetera.
And I think that's very important. And this is something we hear from industry. Quite often we hear that we need a federal law because we can't adjust for every state that we do business in. And we get that. We understand that. That's why I believe that just like a federal data privacy law is necessary in order to have some kind of consistency and some kind of normalcy, if you will, throughout the country. If a company is working in 40 different states and trying to adhere to 40 different rules and regulations, that's going to be almost impossible.
Congressman, as you know, we are in now 2024 and a big election in our country, well, in many other democracies. And there is a concern that maybe deepfakes, AI could play a role through some external forces, et cetera, that want to play mischief. Any thoughts or role of Congress here?
I do think Congress can play a role in this. I think education is going to be extremely important. It would be incumbent upon us to make sure that people are educated and to be able to identify where we're having deep fakes or whether we're having misinformation. We arguably have gone through that before in the last national election. Shame on us again if we don't learn our lessons from that. So I think Congress can play a role in educating and training and making sure people know what to look for and how to identify when these things are misrepresented.
Congressman, finally, I want you to see if you can pull up your crystal ball and tell our listeners, what is the timing for the U.S. to have AI legislation on the books? I don't know if you have a crystal ball, but maybe you can try for some of our companies who listen, et cetera.
I do wish I had a crystal ball, and I wish I could answer that question confidently, but I will tell you that it's got to be sooner than later. This is not going to wait on us. We may think that, oh, just hold on, we'll get to it when we get to it. That's not going to be the case at all. I think that Congress has got to act, and we've got to act in the very near future. Whether that happens or not, it remains to be seen. Obviously, we get bogged down a lot in Congress on things that seem to suck all the oxygen out of the room. But this has got to be something that rises to the top, because it's not going to wait on us. It's going to happen, whether we're ready or not.
Yeah, I sense a sense of urgency from you. Do your colleagues, you feel that there is a sense of urgency and awareness on this issue, Congressman?
Yes, I do, especially on the Energy and Commerce Committee. We get it. We understand the immediacy of this problem. And we're doing our best to act on it, but got to convince other members of Congress as well.
Well, thank you so much, Congressman, for coming and addressing so many varied interests. And we'll look forward to continue to having you here, and I really appreciate it. And our audience appreciates what you said.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Regulating AI Innovate Responsibly podcast. You'll find links in the show notes to any resources mentioned on the show. If you're enjoying our podcast, please subscribe so you'll never miss an episode, and leave us a 5-star review.